freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Welcome to another episode of Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. It is February 25th, 2016. I'm going to bring on my co-host right now, Shannon Madden. Shannon, how are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely spectacular after seeing that wonderful wrestling match of a debate just a moment ago.
And I want to bring in Kevin Knight. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, man. Doing great, man. Good to be back with you guys. Tell you, welcome back to town, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, sir. We just had a heated exchange prior to our technical difficulties. I just want to comment real quick on what we just watched. It's complete theater. The United States is finished. It's over. We're watching Vince McMahon produced theater. We've got the Divas matches on the corners that we fast forward through. No one cares. Then we've got the tag teams next to them. And then we have the world champion up front. Vince McMahon produced theater. What we are witnessing right now is blowback from the system. Blowback from the system. Watching this thing tonight, it gave me a panic attack. A panic attack watching that trash. The system created this by shoving presidential candidates down your throat for years. For years. Mitt Romney. And then you had the Democrat version of Mitt Romney with John Kerry. And they said, you're going to get who we give you, and you don't have a choice. And now the people are revolting. This is what you get. This is it. You've done this to yourselves. Kevin, your thoughts.
Hey, man, I mean, it's hard to argue with you. That's exactly what, and I don't think that's a very uncommon thought either. I think a lot of the your pundits that normally wouldn't agree with kind of making the same point. You know, this is what America's done, and for many different reasons, we've gotten what we've gotten. You know, everybody, you look at the people that are calling for anybody, but we want Donald Trump. You know, 8 months ago, 9 months ago, I could have seen this going anywhere, but everybody wants Donald Trump, and for a myriad of reasons that I could not more disagree with. I think we're screwed either way, like you say. I mean, I don't want to get so far as to say that we're finished, because I really thought we were finished with Barack Obama. But let's hope we can pull through this.
Can you hear me?
Let's go ahead and bring on a call real quick. Area code 832. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. My name's Kyle, man. I'm from Houston, Texas.
Kyle from Houston, Texas, where the WrestleMania was being held tonight.
Really? What's that?
Presidential debacle.
GOP SmackDown.
I normally try to, you know, I stay away a lot of, you know, from the news and things like that. So, I didn't even hear about that.
You know, fantastic. God bless you.
That's probably the best answer that he could have given.
That was the correct answer. Yeah. And that gives me a little bit of faith left in humanity. Maybe you're right, Kevin. Maybe it's not finished. Thanks to Kyle from Houston.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. You know, no matter what these people do, there's no way you're gonna break people's spirits or you know, change people's minds. Like, I'm telling my friend today, like, you know, even if Trump gets elected, he might be a racist and a shithead and all that. And yeah, I don't think his personal beliefs are really going to sway what the rest of us think.
Now wait. Let's be fair. What are his personal beliefs? Because they change daily. Which personal beliefs are we referring to?
Oh, agreed.
Yeah.
Whatever the pollsters, those being polled, happen to believe at any given moment.
Now, bear in mind some of the speaking that and some of the things that Trump has been saying. He's definitely been listening to a lot of different people other than the spoon-fed responses we've seen from both Cruz and Rubio tonight.
Oh,
I mean, those were straight off the GOP textbook. Here's what you need to say. If they ask you about this, this, that, and the other. But the trick was, and if you watched this debate, if you had the stomach for it, it was fascinating because it wasn't five different men running for the president of the United States. It's Donald Trump is the only serious contender, and everybody was just attacking Trump. And even the questions were geared and designed for the other people on stage, or the other the four candidates remaining on stage, to do so, with the exception of John Kasich and Ben Carson. In fact, Ben Carson at one point in time, kind of in the middle of a little, you know, the little three-way there up front with Rubio, Cruz, and Trump, Carson piped up and said, "Hey, could somebody start attacking me so I can at least get a little bit of screen time to refute it?"
Oh, that was rough.
It really was.
That was painful.
And Trump just took it all in stride. He knows in his heart of hearts that he is the winner now. That, I mean, it's pretty much his for the taking. And the GOP is furious about this.
If Trump was dead last, I think that anybody watching could still be led to believe that he was first, based strictly on Trump's behavior by itself. But
the media's not doing that, though. The media's telling you Marco Rubio's winning. Marco Rubio, how's he going to pull this out? That's what they keep telling me.
How's he going to pull this out? I see what you did. Phone party.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, hey, I don't think anybody really believes, other than the pundits repeating that Marco Rubio really has a chance. But I will say this, it's been a long comeback from him. You know, a lot of people are calling Rubio one of the front runners from the very beginning. But, you know, it's funny, it never surfaced until everybody else has had their place to climb the polls, to get shot down, and now it's Rubio's turn, and I think it'll be like we expect.
That's what they did with Romney.
So, it seems like they do it with everybody.
Let me clarify. So you're saying that it's Rubio's turn to climb the poll. Is that exactly what you just said?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how he's being treated. I think he'll climb and he'll fall, too, in front, right? And I do believe, unfortunately, that Trump will probably be the winner.
Donald Trump, he may be the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Everybody's falling for it. Everybody's in love with this man. And here's the scariest part in the world to me. I'm watching that insanity. And then he starts talking about foreign policy. when he mentions how we should be handling overseas and why do we have all these bases all over the world. And you know what? Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi were bad guys. But it would be better in the Middle East if they were in charge. We wouldn't have all this terrorism. We wouldn't have all this mess. Why are we stationed all around the world?
Even Putin was asking that not too terribly long ago.
That's it.
Yeah.
He says that, and I go, I like that.
Yeah.
I like what he's selling.
There's no fun in that van.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying that he's pulling you in.
There's no candy for
he's
you in that
He's the Antichrist.
No candy in that van. Don't do it.
I know.
Don't look
Oh,
in
no,
eyes.
I'm not going. I'm don't not getting in that
eyes.
Truck. I'm not getting in the truck. But let me tell you, I hear the man pulling his finger and say, get in the car, little boy.
And that's exactly what he's doing. You know, just the other day after, I think we talked about, we hit on it briefly about, and actually I think the anti-media had an article referring to Trump, who referred to the secret papers, so he called them, which we know is the 28 papers.
The one topic. Pages. I'm so glad you brought that up, Kevin.
Well, and it's funny, you know, he did that a lot because he was taking flack for some comments that he made about Iraq on a couple different instances, along with when his exchanges with Jeb Bush. But I wonder how many people saw that literally when the next two, if not 3 days, he gave another interview on Iraq, and actually he came back and did what Donald does, and he flipped so hard, not on the 28 pages. He wasn't asked about that, surprise, surprise. Again, anyways,
yeah,
but he was asked about Iraq, and he completely denied. Now, after he had made this the point several times about Bush lying and about getting us into Iraq with a lie, he completely turned around and flipped on that with an interview within just days of making that last statement. So I think you're right, and I think we all agree with you when our ears park up when he talks about 28 pages, but I think you're right, and I think we agree with you. We're not getting on that bus either, and into that van. Because he's, what's he going to do? I doubt we're going to see a lot of this when he gets into office. I just don't have
no candy in that bag.
I know. Hey, listen, when he's talking trade, you notice that's one of the only topics. The Federal Reserve and trade. You know? And you're like, oh, wow. Man, he is scratching me where I itch. This is it.
It looks like he has candy in that bag.
Yeah. This is what Ron Paul taught me.
I heard the word candy.
This is what Ron Paul taught me to believe.
He might have a balloon in there.
Well, you know, he it's funny. He told Alex Jones in an interview.
Yes, he's doing interviews with Alex Jones.
He told him before too long. He made him a promise. If I'm not mistaken, he made him a promise to mention either the 28 pages of the Federal Reserve. Both of those, to me, it strikes me as just so odd that he happened to mention both, you know, I'm sure you guys saw, too, or referring to the tweet that he made about the Federal Reserve. Is he really concerned about the Federal Reserve policy, or do you think that was more a chance to dig?
Roger Stone was on InfoWars and talked about how Trump hated the Federal Reserve. Roger Stone's known Trump for 4 years, supposedly. He goes on all these TV shows speaking on his behalf, and supposedly talks to him on the phone every day. And he says he's way against it. So, I mean, it's sick.
I don't know if I believe that that's the topic of their conversation of very often, to be honest with you. It just seemed to me that it was odd timing for him to mention both those subjects right now. Of course, we didn't get very much play, and I'm not surprised.
I think it's the Piper playing his tune and get behind it.
And to be fair, we have extended an invitation to Donald Trump's camp quite some time ago, and they've yet to respond. So, Donald, if you or any of your people listening,
if you want to come on the show and deny you're the Antichrist, let's go.
Hit us up, man. Let's do it.
I want to hear about the office
candy. Candy,
man. And here's what's even funnier about it: Jesus was served up to Rome to be crucified by the church. By the right, not the left, not the intellectuals, served up by the people. And what's happening here? The left, the intellectuals, aren't backing this guy. It's the everyday person. Insane.
Well, but at the same time, there's no candy in that van.
Oh, I know.
There's not a single gumdrop, lollipop.
I'm not getting in it.
Bubble gum.
I'm seeing.
No. Seeing the minute he's elected, he is running as a Republican.
You heard?
Which means he is tied directly into the system, no matter all of the crazy crap that he's talking, whichever way he's talking it. He doesn't believe a single damn bit of it, just like the rest of them standing up on stage. Just more talking points so they can become president of the United States for serving whatever side or interest. At the end of the day, these people eat dinner together. The Republicans and the Democrats that fight bitterly tooth and nail on the Senate floor, that they all collude and send each other Christmas cards and go on trips together and hunting trips and wear witchy robes. We'll go into that some other time. I'm sure you've heard the recent allegations from Justice Scalia, yeah. His final days on this earth. You ever seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut?
Yeah, man. Yeah, they say it was a Lamar Odom deal.
I mean, it wasn't just a normal hunting trip, some guys out in the woods and camouflage. This was some really weird stuff. I don't want to allow
that too
much.
Bohemian
Grove
people?
Yeah.
But do you believe that? That's crazy. I'm not saying this couldn't be true, but that's like, does it matter?
Pretty credible news sources, and if you go back and look at the actual hunting lodge and some of the other organizations that have kind of been tied in with it, and it's really bizarre. I try not to delve too much into the, we here on the show don't delve too much into the Illuminati and all of these conspiracy theories and all of this other stuff, the real true tinfoil hat stuff. Not denying any credibility to those things, but we don't really focus on that. We try to stick to what we know are the facts. And the facts in this particular case, yeah, they look really weird. I mean, really, really, really weird. And, of course, all of the hubbub that is going on now in selecting or delaying the selection of another Supreme Court nominee. I mean, it's just the whole thing's really weird. And you know, I know I'm getting off subject here, but, yeah, there's no candy in that van. None.
Kevin, did you hear Ron Paul when he came out and said that Trump is worse than any of the establishment candidates?
No, you know, I saw the headline, and I saw on his the Ron Paul, I guess his website came up on my news feed. I did actually see the article. I didn't actually read it. I can imagine what he was getting at, but how exactly was Mr. Paul explaining that?
I think he's talking about, you know, a lot about the surveillance that Trump. Think about the Apple case. The Apple case is really scary because he wants the government to intervene so all of us can be spied on. All of us, because they're saying they need one phone number and some phone they can get in, and the story doesn't even make sense to begin with. I mean, it's a joke.
Well, and also, too, and I'm kind of glad you brought the whole Apple thing up, because there is an excellent story right now on the website, www.theantimedia.org, about actually Snowden, Edward Snowden's reaction and some of his very informed comments on why the FBI really kind of already has all the information from that phone to begin with. Very interesting story. I highly encourage everybody to go check it out because it raises some very interesting points about what exactly this phone that the supposed shooter what kind of phone he had. I mean, it was basically a government-issued phone.
You know they won't let Obama have an iPhone because they're so easy to get into?
You know,
well, a lot of that's what we learned, a lot of that from Edward Snowden. You know, he said he would never have an iPhone. And that's exactly what I thought every time I hear this discussion about the NSA and about, oh, the FBI needs this backdoor, and he didn't get this password. I mean, shoot, we know what kind of capabilities the NSA has. I think all of us would be naive to think that the NSA, or excuse me, the FBI could not get into that if they wanted to.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
Oh, yeah, it really is. And I was reading, I think, the anti-media, and I could be wrong, but I believe actually I saw an article up a little while ago that was pointing out the fact that the FBI actually has already 12, if I'm not mistaken, other Apple cell phones that they're actually trying to get access to as well. This will pretty much, if I'm not mistaken, actually help them to get somewhere with those cases as well. So it just drives home the point you guys have made that it's not just about one cell phone, not at all.
No. And again, under the guise of terrorism, freedom and liberty and all of that jazz, and there's always a terrorist, some terrorist with some dynamite strapped to him and an AK-47 and jihad durka, and we have lost. I mean, look at all of the rights, quote unquote rights. I mean, just look at all that we lost just in the Patriot Act alone. And then here comes the Freedom Act and just solidifies that even further and makes absolute positive that we do not have a Fourth Amendment anymore. Completely eroded, destroys it. Under the guise of terrorism. And how many terrorists have we stopped?
And look at Rand Paul, who because of his statements that he won't be endorsing a candidate this time around, maybe he's coming back around to the good side. I don't know. But, Justin Amash came out and endorsed, Ted Cruz. That kind of makes me.
I don't know. With the way that Trump's talking lately, maybe Rand Paul quietly has taken an advisory position on his cabinet. I mean,
honestly, I think what Rand Paul, what Trump is probably trying to do is trying to woo some of the Cruz supporters. You know, Cruz kind of came in there and tried to claim a lot of Ron Paul supporters that didn't go to Rand, which is a little confusing.
They're so far apart, it's not even funny.
Oh, I agree completely, but that didn't stop from Cruz from going out and trying to actively recruit a lot of Ron supporters. You know, of course, Cruz prides himself on being an ardent constitutionalist as he goes off and supports like the Patriot Act.
Yeah, did you hear Trump tonight when he said when Ted Cruz was giving some spiel about all that, and he's like, well, why don't you tell him, Ted, about all the money you took from Citibank and Goldman Sachs? He's like, yeah, but you're Mr. Big Guy that's going to shut down the banks.
Well, he's got a point, but I mean, that's banter that we hear from everybody, and it may be a good point that Trump brought up, but I'm sorry, I don't, all these presidents, we got to remember, I think we all know this, I know I'm kind of speaking to the crowd here, but there's so much a difference between political, what these guys make, these campaign promises. I would be really curious as to how many campaign promises ever actually come to fruition from any given president. You know, it's nothing. It's like there's a certain time of year we know we expect it's campaign season, but yet we understand these guys are going through campaign. We expect not to expect a whole lot, but yet we really get hung up on what these campaign promises are and what they said. And it's nothing more than good banter, in my opinion, because none of this stuff is going to come fruition.
Our current president definitely carried through with his promise to do something about health care, and we got.
And I'll tell you what, I am no Barack Obama guy, not even kind of close at all. I'll say this: it looks like he's trying to pull off the Guantanamo thing, and I didn't think that would happen.
He's trying, and I'll be honest with you, my thoughts have, that's an interesting topic to get into right there.
Yeah, and that's a little too late at this point.
Well,
no, I agree completely.
Why even talk about Guantanamo when what's going on right now in the Middle East?
Oh, yeah, he's made that a million times worse. He's had opportunities to change that. Either that or the powers that be won't allow him to do anything. I don't know which it is, but...
It was my understanding that he actually did sign some almost authorized it, but it's up to Congress to provide the money and support for it, because I forget how much it is, but it's It's something, you know, millions of dollars for like each person. It was some drastic amount. And basically Congress has to approve all that money. It's kind of like the immigration legislation he tried to pass through not too long ago. Congress is the one that actually has to fund it. So if I'm not mistaken, that's a lot of the holdup is, you know, he can decree all these different presidential decisions, but without Congress, a lot of them don't hold necessarily a lot of weight.
Particularly without the money. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, right.
And there's no money left. And the infuriating thing, speaking of no money left, you get all these conservatives, and they're like, oh, we're wasting money on this. Oh, we're wasting money on that. Oh, Bernie Sanders is going to give away the world. Everything's going to be free. But when it comes to the military, let me tell you something.
I proposed one additional $1 trillion.
Oh, annually. Yeah.
You know,
oh.
I think that was one of the first things out of Rubio's mouth.
Yeah, please.
First time he was able to cry.
Please, let's spin. Let's spend away on this one. Mm-hmm. And here's the crazy part of all of it. Let's bring it back home now. These people are the Christian conservatives. Okay, Jesus taught peace. Peace. We're talking these people are cheering death. These are human beings with souls in their body. And they are cheering their death.
Well, we'll do
it's
anything.
Disgusting.
We will do anything we can to do what we can to protect ourselves from all those evil brown people. I mean, come on now. We all know, and I think it's been very well established, that Jesus was white.
Man, what is wrong with
and unfortunately, whether it's spoken or not, that
Megyn Kelly actually said that on television. Megyn Kelly said that.
Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump is backing it up with every xenophobic statement that he makes on the stage. And there's a
what is wrong with people?
White folks out there, build a wall.
Yeah, that's the end of it.
Wall doesn't just keep people out, it keeps you in.
Let me tell you something. Look, these same people. Oh, they'll kill all of them. And then you got, but all lives matter. That's what they tell you. They tell you all the lives matter.
All lives matter.
All of them, they say.
All lives matter.
But when it comes to blowing up some Palestinian child, who gives a crap?
Oh, well, they should have been born white.
They don't care. What's wrong?
Well, you know, asterisks are probably not something that crowd probably is familiar with using yet, but there should be a huge asterisk. You're right there. It should say all lives matter, except those from overseas that are not the same complexion.
Well, except for 12-year-old black children in this country. They don't even care when a 12-year-old child is shot on camera.
Well, he shouldn't have been holding his fingers, you know, in the form of a gun, obviously.
Oh, no, it was a BB gun. They didn't know. He was protecting himself. Give me a break!
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous.
Child was killed! All lives matter. Come on!
Now, bear in mind, to be fair, the police officer did pull up, got out of his vehicle, opened the door, issued a warning. I mean, there was a tense standoff there for a few seconds. It was very, oh, wait a minute, that didn't happen, did it? No, he just pulled up immediately before the car even stopped, rolled out of the car, yelled something as he fired his gun, all within a split second.
All within a split second.
All lives matter.
On tape, and nothing happened to the murderer. Because of his job. And the people that defended him are the Christian conservatives. I am a Christian. I need this to be said. I am a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. People can disagree with that. That's fine. That's your prerogative. But that's what I believe. Now, Jesus, I read about, teaches peace and teaches love. This nonsense that these people are at, crazy.
Yeah,
they're the mob. They're the horde.
Don't you realize we're trying to make America great again? And when you make things great, you have to destroy before you can rebuild. Isn't that right? Isn't that how
Do it not forget that the people, I repeat, the people that offered Jesus up to the Romans were the church.
So, what color do you want the wall to be?
Gold, I hope.
I think we need to start picking out colors.
It's going to be 10 foot higher. Did y'all hear about that?
Well, it needs to be as high.
He said that because the president smart off to him, so he said the wall is going to be 10 foot higher now.
Yeah. Oh, that was his response
after
Mexico's president or Calderon was talking about it?
Yeah, he said it on the debate. He's like, oh, the wall's going to be 10 times bigger now. Oh, yeah, and his answer for the answer for why, I don't know, completely forgot.
I know, it was just so great, just trying to pick through all of the magical moments.
It really is.
Of the tag team trying to go up against the world championship. And
he's got the world title, no question.
Just picking them up, arm throwing across the room, I mean, you know.
What do you think are going to be the response when, let's imagine that Donald Trump actually does get into office. How long do you think it'll be before he'll be able to push back that, and wipe away and forget about that wall before people start, hey, what about that wall? You know, do you think this will be something he tries to get at least addressed within his first 100 days? Or do you think this will be something? Because this will, I think by far, he's opened a can of worms. I don't think a lot of people are going to forget this. I know a lot of people forget that Reagan, when they passed the amnesty back in the 80s, they promised a wall was going to be built. Whether or not you agree with the wall, I, of course, don't. I know we, of course, don't here at the anti-media. But there's a lot of people going to be really, I think, upset when they find out that wall is not going to be built and never was intended to be built.
The only reason I think he wants to build it, honestly, the only reason that actually makes me think he would do it is because
he
wants the contract to build it. He wants to build it and make money on it. That's what I think.
It wouldn't be surprising.
Well, and to be, SM pointed out something earlier that kind of ties in with this. I mean, okay, he can promise a wall all he wants to, but he's going to have to go through Congress to get it, regardless of public support or not. And if he gets stymied in Congress, which it will be, because that's how these things work, and that's how the chess pieces move, you know, you don't want to expose your knight because your knight's going to go over here, so you're going to throw a pawn over here and so on and so forth. And so we can talk anything we want to, but it's going to ultimately depend on Congress, unless he, makes the deal with Mexico, makes Mexico build the wall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but when they asked, because they kept pressing him on how they were going to do that, he basically insinuated he'll start a trade war. And
well, we have enough military equipment and military personnel down that way right now. I think we can pretty much do whatever.
Yeah, he said he's going to start a trade war over it. And, he said that they were, and then they got on to him for that, you're off the chain, you're going to do this crazy thing. And he explained about how 500 million, whatever we're losing every year. They kind of lost on that.
We forget that not a lot of us are very up to speed what exactly the geography entails trying to actually build a wall through. There are some pretty rough places that a wall, it's going to be almost impossible financially. I say financially, or of course I know that's not always the case. If you've got money, you can build it, but I don't see it actually getting built like they want. Like it's one, and at some point, it'll only be not too long before trade routes adapt and stuff starts coming in from different areas. Even our northern border, I know that's not really a hot target, but if the southern border gets cut off completely, and I don't think it ever will, the other trade routes will just be just pop up left and right.
Oh, the black market always finds its way around.
So. Oh yeah, certainly.
So I don't think that we will see any drastic difference. I don't believe anybody's going to be deported. I think it's a big show. I don't think he cares. I think he cares about making money. I think he cares about his ego.
Well, big business. I'm sorry. You know, big business is definitely. I know a lot of the libertarian view. A lot of our view is let live and let live, and to an extent, people have the right to travel. But big business is a lot of who is actually supporting a lot of the legislative pushes for amnesty. You know, whether or not you agree with amnesty, that's another issue aside. But I still think it's reality. Big business, and Trump is a big business supporter. Big business and big government. So, yeah, I don't see when it actually comes to fruition, I don't see this going very far. I don't see amnesty going being impeded very much, to be honest with you. I definitely don't see them sending people to collect anybody, that's for sure. And I think there'd be an uprising from a lot of other people besides Hispanics. You know, Trump was asked the other night, Cruz was asked, would he go after even the Irish immigrants? And, you know, Cruz admitted, we'd go after the Irish immigrants. That's something I've not heard Donald Trump say, is that his willingness to go actually and round people up where Cruz has. But either way, I don't see that happening. I don't see very much being done about immigration either way, which is not really one of my big concerns. I think you've hit on it several times. At the war state, we spend way more money on the war state than we even do the welfare state. And I think that'll sink our ship before immigrants do, or a lack of a border either way.
Completely agree. I just don't see us sustaining this much longer. I mean, the dollar's almost already worthless. I don't know how much longer we can preserve this, especially at the rate we're accelerating. Something has to come to a head.
Well, it looks like we may be going to war sooner. That'll cause at least a little bit of distraction, whether or not this will be the nail in the coffin. But, you know, I'm sure you guys saw that Iran recently decided to dump the dollar. So, you know, you'd expect that we'd already be bombing the fool out of Iran, but we've not done that yet.
Well, it took a couple of years, I think, before they started bombing Saddam when he did it.
Well, we did start bombing Gaddafi before Gaddafi got too far into it.
Yeah, he never even got through it, did he? I don't even think he ever got through it.
Yeah, we learned our lesson with Saddam, so, no.
Yeah, I don't. Did Gaddafi finish getting the golden R through?
No, my understanding, they had not. He was trying to actually pass a kind of start a movement that they've been building up for a long time that kind of coincided with a lot of the BRICS currency and the BRICS nations. Basically to implement a complete, like an African Union coin. But no, to my knowledge, it never got very far. It hadn't got too far anyways. Of course, we know now from a lot of the Clinton papers, Hillary Clinton's emails, we know now that that was one of the things that the U.S. and that NATO was concerned about, say NATO, the U.S. and the Western countries were concerned about, was Gaddafi moving in that way, in that direction.
Yeah, the few emails from Hillary Clinton that we were allowed to see,
they weren't redacted.
A lot of those were redacted with a magnet shortly before the FBI got there, because, you know, they called her and gave her a heads up. She's freaking Hillary Clinton. Come on.
She is the most hated woman in the world.
And again, all you have to do is watch an episode of House of Cards and see Frank Underwood.
Oh.
And Frank Underwood is Hillary Clinton.
No, I think Franklin was Lyndon Johnson.
Wow.
I think they patterned Claire and
it started off
Frank
I started
as Bill Clinton.
Yeah, but
and Hillary's relationship, that power couple. I do think that.
I understood.
But I think Frank's actual character is patterned after Lyndon Johnson.
And Hillary Clinton.
There's definitely the Clinton thing. 100%.
Come on now. Did you see that when he pissed Zoe out in front of the train? Never mind. We'll get
see, that was a Johnson move. That was Johnson. Clinton, Bill wasn't doing that. Hillary was doing all that. Oh, Hillary's the one getting everybody off. Bill was the one getting off.
Yeah. I see what you did there. He didn't climb any poles.
Oh, geez.
His pole got climbed.
That was probably a little bit crude.
Yeah,
that's all right.
That was very crude. Yeah, I want to take it there. Why not? We started the show off talking about Trump. We might as well throw in a little F bomb here and there.
Yeah, man. That's okay.
Hey, what did you guys hear? Did that Calderon supposedly say that Trump
claimed
he was offended by?
Yeah, okay, get this. Because you heard the wording that he used.
Yeah, that Trump said.
No, the wording that
Calderon.
Yeah, that he said.
Oh, no, okay. If we can't say and understand, I assumed it wasn't that bad.
Happened to it or something like that. It's never going to happen, whatever it was, whatever. But Trump had the audacity to say on the stage tonight, he's like, can you believe he's using foul language like that? Can you believe?
Right, yeah, I heard afterwards, I saw like 2 or 3 minutes right before I called in that they were interviewing him, and the guy interviewing him actually kind of hinted at that too. Like, really, do you feel like you really have much room to talk after
he called
said
Ted Cruz a pussy?
Oh, I know. I mean, I cannot believe he had the audacity to comment, because that's what I could not believe that Calderon could have possibly have said anything up to par with what Donald Trump said. But yet, Donald Trump just went right along and just, like, he just could not believe Calderon had said that. He was just not a gentleman, couldn't have said it, should have been said on TV.
There is a thing on YouTube of Donald Trump saying the same stuff, like, on stage to a whole bunch of people. But no, doesn't faze him. Doesn't faze him. He's just like, that's what he's talking about. Flick, flick, flicking him off. Man, Cruz and Rebuild tonight, they were just piling on and piling on. You know, one off the top rope, the other one, you know, doing a little flip. And he was just on the ropes, just taking it. Boom, boom, boom. Going back, taking the hits. And then all of a sudden, like Muhammad Ali.
Come out with a double clothesline. Oh,
he
man.
He threw it down. He just Brock Lesnar them up in the air.
Poke one in the eye while he's dealing with that. Grab the other one by the hair and punch him in the face a few times. It was nasty.
He put the wag of the finger. The boot came out. The elbow came down. 1, 2, 3. Throat/ world heavyweight champion.
You know, he is the only man on that stage to have faced Stone Cold Steve Austin. Didn't
ring. Better believe he did.
Got the stunner and still lives to talk about it.
Shave Vince McMahon's head. Shane Vince McMahon's head.
Marco Rubio couldn't get the stunner and break his little teeny neck.
Break him in half. He's got some fancy shoes, though, don't he?
Break him in half. I see what you did there. Oh, man. To have been young at a phone party in Miami, bump into young Marco Rubio.
That guy had the audacity to say on.
I bet he was really hot.
Did you think when they?
I mean, he's a good looking guy.
He was talking about listening to EDM music.
He's a meat back.
He was talking about listening to EDM music. And he's from Miami.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What, did you ever go to a rave?" He's like, "Oh, no, I've never been to a rave." And he's going to sit there talking, "God this, God that." "No, I've never been to a rave." Really, dude? Really? You're from Miami. You listen to dance music. Now, you're married to an ex Miami Dolphins cheerleader.
To be fair, a phone party is not a rave. That's two completely different things altogether.
Come on.
Have you ever been to a phone party?
I have not.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
Hot. That sounds miserable. Miserable. There's a picture floating around.
It depends on how much money you can make at the
There's
phone party.
There's a picture floating around of him at that phone party. Is it him? I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Sure looks like it.
It was a gay fun boy. And look, there's nothing wrong with being gay, but it's
he has
very loud.
That's the issue
about his anti-homosexuality.
Yeah, if you gonna be all up like, "Hey, I believe this, you can't be doing that.
Don't be Lindsey Graham about it. Girlfriend, express yourself.
Yeah. Lindsey Graham, though, he owns it, though. You got to at least give him that. He's got some sass to his step.
Daddy.
Yeah. That's what he calls John McCain.
John McCain.
Well, Kevin, you going to help bring us out of the gutter here?
Yeah.
Hey, I've got nothing, man. Nothing whatsoever. I just... I saw something that interested me a little bit, but have you guys heard anything else, anything more about Trump's cheating out in Nevada? Have we heard anything else, any more claims? That kind of died down rather quickly, or at least it's not come across my radar as much.
Are we talking about the uneducated voters bit?
Yeah, is anything being even said about that? I guess
who cares, man? That's old news. That happened, what, yesterday? Man, who cares about that?
I ain't heard.
God, you seen the fights tonight? Yeah, exactly. And again, we're talking about Trump. What more outrageous thing can he do now?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously.
He can call
the Pope a motherfucker live on air.
He's going to end up calling.
That anybody's going to do about it, because there's going to be, say, well, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, the Pope is kind of a motherfucker. I mean, you know. I mean,
He can say it and get away with it.
There'll be a big uproar for about 12 hours, and boom, it's over with, because Trump's on to the next thing. Yeah. And people are it is the most crazy, just wild anomaly.
Antichrist, dude.
Of any person running for a national public office, I've never seen anything like this.
No.
I mean, just bold and brassy and uncouth and just downright nasty about it. And he's able to get away with it because people like the things that Donald Trump was saying. And what is he saying? When? I mean, what?
He said everything.
I like all those books. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. We're
done. We're just watching all the Star Wars and the Ewoks and the Jar Jar.
Oh, he's
great.
Right.
Yeah, I love the Star Wars.
We're walking straight out the crib.
The Walking Dead. I love the
Walking
Dead.
We're in the car.
Zombies.
Look, man, we're in the car. We're driving straight off. It's time to jump out of the car. Because it ain't.
You know, has Donald for him mentioning the Fed? I know you mentioned this just briefly. There's one thing I don't think I've heard Donald mention one time is the debt. Has Donald even mentioned the federal debt whatsoever?
Not that I've heard.
I heard the Tea Party had a little bit of concern over the debt and various groups in the past. But to me, that's always in the back of my mind is the debt, and it's one thing that I know a lot of us can't, you know, we're all aware of this, is each one of these politicians gets up there and demands that we need to approve more money, trillions of dollars more, whether it be for health care, whether it be for new, the military is a great one, whether it be for education. The debt is not mentioned ever, seems to be mentioned any more whatsoever. Where's a Donald on that? I've not heard him mention that whatsoever, but he did mention the Fed, but, you know, like I said, I don't think that's going anywhere. But the Fed, I want to see how much money the Donald goes in, if he's going to be one of these slash and cut, which I don't think he will, or if we're going to see the massive spending that we continue to see every single year.
I'll say this. Rubio mentioned the debt tonight. So the opportunity was there. Rubio kept talking about the debt. Meanwhile, of course, Rubio was talking about building the military.
We don't need to talk about debt because we're making America great again, and making America great does not have anything to do with debt. So we're just going to take that off the table. And I think it's absolutely disgusting that either one of y'all would bring that up.
China.
Yeah, China. I mean, I got friends in China. I've done plenty of business deals in China. I mean, the Chinese people love me. Everybody knows
it. Everybody knows it.
And I think for you to suggest otherwise is just disgusting.
Oh, his fans.
That's what Trump says. That's his whole spiel.
He got more votes from his fans in Nevada than Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm. I love an
Ted Cruz. He got more Hispanic votes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and again, the Hispanics that are here also want a wall as well. I mean, you know, that's already their territory. I've seen that locally because, again, I've said this many times on the show. I'm a plumber by trade, so I'm on construction sites daily and work side by side with a lot of Hispanic laborers who have actually, you know, improved their situation quite greatly because we have a very racist anti-immigration law here in Alabama that drove a lot of the illegals out, and the few illegals that decided to stay because they knew that they weren't going to be able to do anything, they're tied up in federal lawsuits about it right now, have quietly assumed those positions that they used to have, and they cut out all of their competition, every bit of it.
Listen.
So the few that are here right now are making bank.
I'm not going to name any names here, but I had a friend of mine the other day who, is American, and he's got darker colored skin, but his grandparents were somebody was originally from Mexico years ago, but it was past grandparents, great grandparents, whatever. Been here a long time. So as American gets. But you know, kind of look the same. Said, I go into Mexico and they treat me terrible. They treat me like crap. When they come here, what's the difference? Why do they get to judge me? Because they say, oh, you're American, you're a gringo, you're this, you're that. Why do they judge me? But I can't judge them, so I think you're dead right. I think there's resentment.
Well,
from a lot of people.
And again, I was going to ask, what part of Mexico was it? The part that's under that imaginary border?
I think it's legit. Resentment.
North Mexico, that Houston, which is pretty much what the whole Western United States is.
I get it. But what do you think, Kevin? I mean, you're a lot closer to the situation than I could ever be with your family.
Yeah, the immigration situation, the system here in this country is so racked. It it costs us anywhere from $12,000 and $14,000, roughly, for us to navigate the legal system. We were fortunate that we had the
funds. Cheap, from what I understand.
Oh, and I'm sure it is. The thing is, it's almost impossible without a high dollar lawyer. Which, and I know the people out there are going to say, well, you need to go through the system. But if you could really understand how exactly impossible and how the immigration laws really prompt people to come. And for a long time in this country, we had a lot of circulatory migration where people would come and work, and both countries benefited. But that's been eroded for a long time. And, you know, it's almost – I have a little bit different experience apparently than you, Shannon. And I work on a few job sites too, but I talk to different people and I hear different positions on this. But the one thing I do hear, the more concern about the wall from other Hispanics, is more the hatred for Donald Trump in general.
God bless him.
I cannot believe that he won. I was really surprised to hear that he actually won the Hispanic vote. But I personally have not looked into that to see exactly how that lined up.
I will say I was too. I was actually very shocked.
I'm very shocked that he is still, I mean, with all of the twists and turns that his campaign has taken, that he's still showing as strong as he is, being able to say whatever he wants to, the first thing that comes to his mind, and regardless of whether it's morally right or just right in general. I mean, just the first thing that they, and he's been caught up in so many lies, and it doesn't matter. I mean, you're calling me a liar, but, you know, I think you're disgusting. Let's talk about something else. I mean, that's his whole spiel. Rubio kind of narrowed in on that a little bit tonight with a little soliloquy about, you know, the five things that Donald Trump says, and went down the list, and it was actually pretty spot on. I think he rehearsed that a little extra backstage before he got up there. And I would have probably...
he didn't say, get stuck saying it six or seven times.
Yeah. So, and again, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Trump is still going to get up. He's still going to do the same spiel. But at the same time, there's no candy in that man. There's none.
Just flicking them off.
Yeah.
Just flicking them off.
And you know, we when we first heard that Donald Trump was running and some of the things that he said early on in his campaign was just like truly bizarre. And there's no chance that he's possibly going to make it. But now, and we kind of...
The John McCain quote.
Thought about, oh God, if Donald Trump becomes president, how awful is that going to be? But really, after we've seen all the candidates up close, is he any worse than any of the rest of them? He's just up there talking out of his ass. And it's just like if you get in a fight with somebody and you start picking up a bunch of mud and throwing it at them, eventually, if you're just clawing at the dirt, eventually you'll get lucky and pick up a rock every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we've seen with Donald Trump.
Great point.
Don't attack him. Don't do it.
He's disgusting.
That's it. Heavyweight champion.
Disgusting you would even bring that up.
Heavyweight champion. Oh, yeah. It's going to be great, though. Listen. It's going to be great. It's going to be good. It's going
to
be great.
Everybody
great
needs
people.
To grab their ankles now, lube up, because I'm telling you, It's looking, and I hate to say it, but it looks like Donald Trump is going to be the next president of the United States of America.
I think it's going to happen.
I think it's going
to happen. I think it's going to happen. I think there's nothing we can stop this train. I don't know. You know,
where do you go? What do you stay do? As far away from the polls that day as possible.
Where do you go and what do you do?
This is a joke. This is what our leadership, quote unquote, has led us to.
Yes, it is. This is the country we live in.
Let's own it.
The so-called biggest country in the world.
Let's make Idiocracy a
full. The empire is falling. Thank you so much for listening to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. LaVon will be here on UTY.TV/TAMR tomorrow night. Until next week.
Bam, bam, the fan.
Hello.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.